Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It
I
is,
want
well,
out
it's
of the bunker.
supposed.
I want out of the bunker, please.
Okay, the buzzer works. No, Griggs, you're still stuck in the bunker. Your lights are still out. Maybe we'll get you some lights back by tomorrow night, but we still.
It's very dark in here, Chad. After what happened tonight, he might have some company in the bunker.
Well, I'll tell you, Griggs, I know that you were complaining about the power and maybe not be able to watch some of the games. I do have here actually for you though. Let's see. Here's a brand new TV I got for you, so you could
Oh boy.
perfect for the bunker.
How the hell am I supposed to watch that?
You could probably look at the sections. You get like four different one game on each section of the screen. You get like six games on that TV. No.
Joe Lenardi's did you see him at the West Coast tournament? He's not out in a bunker. He's not locked in a bunker like I am.
Well, he must know that you're taking care of all the bunkers tonight. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. That's David Griggs, David Dorman, and John Stilicho with us. This is our Championship Week video notebook, day number nine, the ninth day of the week. That's beyond any Beatles songs here. But we've got a lot to get to. We had a What do we have? Six conference championships decided this evening. We've got a ton to preview for coming up tomorrow. We are cheating a little bit. It's only about 11:45 p.m. Eastern right now. There are two late games that have just tipped off in the Big West and the WAC that we will not be able to get to. We're also watching the end of one of the games in the Metro Atlantic. It'll probably be final by the time we get to that conference. But let's start with some news and notes, though. I did want to give a shout out here with some very good news from Dick Vitale tonight that he tweeted out that his PET scan came back and there was no cancer found whatsoever. Dickie V is
Yes.
a guy that I
Great
grew up
news.
with listening to him doing college basketball games. And I know a lot of people don't like him. I've always thought found him very entertaining, though.
I have too, and I think I know a lot of diehard fans don't like him, but I think a lot of casual fans love him. He makes the game exciting. How can and he's good, and because he makes the game exciting to people that are not diehard fans, he's good for the game. And if you meet Dick Vitale, ever talk to him, I know he comes off as this clown on television, but in real life, he's actually a very, very knowledgeable person about the game of basketball.
I'll tell you, I've listened to that broadcast where suddenly somebody might mention out of nowhere Quinnipiac, and he'll suddenly rattle off the top five players and the last three coaches from the team. That you're like, oh, this guy knows basketball. He's
Oh,
not
he
just he's
definitely
just not
does.
a voice. Yeah.
That's a great point, Chad. Before every game was on TV and ESPN, and you only got a few games a week in the 80s, and he was on the game, he would walk you around the country during the game. He would tell you who's good in the East and the West, what's going on before the internet, and we had all these bracket matrix and everything. And he was like your source to know what was going on. I hope he's feeling much better. Great news today.
Yes, it was. Let's go ahead and get to the action from today, and we will start things off. Let's start off with the first championship game that was decided this evening. It was the A-Sun tournament title game. Jacksonville heading to Bellarmine. Stalika, how about those Bellarmine Knights?
Yeah, this was a game where Bellarmine did get off to a decent start right here. Jacksonville State or no, Jacksonville fell behind, I think, by as many as 12 or 13 points. They did make a bit of a late run, but never got closer than five right here. So it turned out to be a nice celebration for the Bellarmine fans.
It was a great court storming for a team that is not going to the NCAA tournament, as we mentioned last night, and it's highlighted in red right there. Bellarmine ineligible in their second transitional year. Jacksonville State, as the regular season champion, will be going to the NCAA tournament. Griggs, what I liked about this is it got a lot of attention to this rule that we do not like of the 4 year transitional period.
Right. We've seen transitional teams. I believe Birmingham Southern, who never actually completed the transition, won the Big South 1 year and was not eligible, but they didn't play in the tournament. This is the only example that I can remember. I maybe it's happened before, where a transitional team won a conference championship and was not allowed to play. And I think this rule is very important because the point of it is to give a school 4 years to get assimilated. Bellarmine clearly not assimilated yet, just not ready to compete in the Atlantic Sun.
Yeah,
This is
there
a
were
stupid rule.
Yeah, there were a few examples of teams that won, that were transitional, that won conference tournaments, but they were in conferences that did not receive automatic bids at the time. There
Yeah.
also was, way back in the early 90s, a Missouri team that was ineligible for the postseason that won the Big Eight tournament. But that was, obviously a conference that didn't have to worry about getting teams in. But
Yeah. What a night for Bellarmine, though. I wish they were going to the NCAA tournament. A big crowd in Freedom Hall tonight. The students and the alumni, it's pretty centrally located in Louisville. They're really starting to get behind this team. And they had people in the second deck at Freedom Hall tonight for a game that would not send them to the NCAA tournament. This Bellarmine team likely will go to a postseason tournament, probably the College Basketball Classic, what used to be at the CIT. And if they play at home, expect a crowd.
Yeah,
By
don't
similar
piggyback on
token,
that.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
go
by
ahead.
similar token, Jacksonville State not quite getting the same level of support on social media that Bellarmine was.
Go ahead, Dorian.
Piggyback on both your points, and that the atmosphere was awesome. A huge shout out to Bellarmine coach Scott Davenport. I've seen this team play more this week than I did all year, but if you love basketball, they play basketball the right way. This is team basketball, offense and defensively. They're not sitting around dribbling around. Pass, 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 backdoor, pass. It's beautiful basketball. Coach Scott Davenport has done a great job in this transition. I look forward to watching them in a postseason tournament. This is a fun team to watch.
Yeah.
It is. Let's keep things rolling along here. It was also championship night in the Horizon League. And, well, NKU looked very good early this game. They built up a 16-point lead in the second half, thought it was all over. And here came Wright State storming back. Trey Calvin, with a shot with about 4 or 5 seconds left, gives them the lead. And Salika, how about the Raiders in the NCAA tournament for a huge comeback?
That shot was right after NKU hit a shot with 19 seconds left, and I'm sure Wright State fans were probably having horrific flashbacks of the Billy Donlin era, where they seemed to have collapse after collapse when they would either win the regular season or even be hosting the championship game at the Nutter Center. So clearly karma was overdue to give the Raiders a bit of a payback right here, and they held off a late NKU shot, and Wright State will end up going to their second tournament under Scott Nagy.
Yeah, a Wright State team that all year on under the radar got very little attention. They were never really in the dregs of the league, of the Horizon League, but they were never really appeared to be a front runner either. They picked a good time to get hot because they really were coming into the tournament. And we even said, if you go back and looked at that, when we discussed the Horizon League, this Wright State team is playing well. They might win this thing.
Yeah, and how about that? It was, by the way, it was Warwick for NKU that gave him the lead, and it was Brandon Langdon who had a miss at the buzzer that could have been a miracle win for NKU. But I've been looking at some brackets here. I've been projecting the one seed or the two seed from the Horizon League onto the 16 line. I think Wright State is going to get a home game, kind of. They're going to be playing in Dayton, I think. In the 16 versus
They're
16
going to.
game.
They're finally going to the Nutter Center after the. I'm sorry, UD Arena after all. Wright State and Dayton, both in Dayton, they do not play regularly. I don't know if they've ever played. Stalika, he's our historian.
They've had a few games in the 90s in what was colloquially called the Gem City Classic.
Yeah.
Okay. It was also championship day in the Colonial Tournament. And here was another great game, Dorman, with this Delaware UNC Wilmington game that went right down to the end.
Right down to the end, back and forth the whole way. Wilmington's season seemed to go this way, and they have been pulling all these games out left and right, especially the last month or two. Their luck seemed to run out tonight. They fell just short. Delaware hit some free throws to seal it in the end, but this was a really well-played game. And Delaware's a very solid, well-coached team.
We also have a couple of good transfers to also keep an eye on the NCAA tournament. We've covered Jameer Nelson Jr. on numerous occasions, but don't forget Dylan Painter, who also transferred in from Villanova. He knows a thing or two about winning in March.
Yeah, And Delaware, again, not a team that we talked much about at all during the regular season. It was all Towson and how bad Northeastern was. But, looking good really in every game they played in this tournament.
Well, you know, Delaware was one of the teams we did like heading into the season, but they got off to a rough start, and we kind of just forgot about them almost. Here they are. Fighting Blue Hens in the NCAA tournament. We had a few more teams that clinched NCAA tournament bids. And let's just do it. Let's go to the Northeast Conference, where Bryant, on the court in terms of gameplay, absolutely thoroughly dismantled Wagner. It was a complete domination. Most of us had the game off. If you had it on, if you had an extra stream, extra screen on up with the stream still on in the background, you saw what happened with about 5 minutes left to play, though, and it was very, very ugly. There was an altercation in the stands between the small section that was the Wagner section for friends and family and the student section for Bryant, which was put right next to it. There was a fight. There were fists thrown. There were bottles and stuff thrown out of the court. There was one player for Wagner that even got involved and got ejected from the game when the dust settled. But it was a very ugly, very nasty situation. Several people being let off in handcuffs.
About that. It was 36-6 at one point. It wasn't exactly a tense game. I mean, perhaps it was a very frustrating game for Wagner, but it wasn't really dirty, wasn't really clean. And it looked to me, I had, in a sense, turned it over when it actually happened, although I saw the replay time and time again. It looked to me like it was a fight in the stands. It was the periphery of the student section and the periphery of the Wagner fans. It didn't look like it had anything to do with anything happening on the court. It just looked like a little too much piss and vinegar. And it honestly could have been so much uglier than what it was. It was ugly, but like it was contained to that one little area. It didn't spill over onto the court and it didn't spill over throughout the entire student section. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, oh, no big deal. I thought that once it had gotten to that point, they did an outstanding job getting it under control.
I think they did.
Now, back in real time, this was also at the same time that the Horizon League game was ending. I was just watching Wright State's go ahead shot with about 10 seconds left in that one. I'm like, what's going on here in Bryant?
I gotta say a couple of things here. First of all, Griggs, yes, they did a great job getting under control. I think a little bit of fault here may go to Peter Kiss from Bryant, though. Towards the end of the game, a little before this, he started doing this kind of this flapping, this Seahawk motion after several shots. Was kind of doing little things here to kind of throw some digs at Wagner. And you had the Wagner section and the Bryant section right next to each other the way they were. And I think, you know, what Peter Kiss did not help the situation. I'll put it that way.
Probably not, but I don't know. Like it was a fight in the state. I mean, it was.
It came very close to spilling onto the Wagner bench, too.
Yeah, it really did. And like it happened right behind the Wagner bench, which it could have like spilled over in the Wagner. I don't know if they ejected Wagner's entire section because they were kicking him out or if they were doing it for their own protection and that was just their way of getting it under control. But
my understanding was Wagner had their section leave at that point. The game was over. There's no point in them still being there.
Okay, so like the AD or whoever had just said it's time to leave. Yep. They did finish the game, albeit they weren't really playing the last 4 minutes. It seemed like they had a handshake agreement to just run the shot clocks down on every possession. These conference tournament games, like you kind of want, I love the NEC for many of the reasons this went wrong. Rabid student sections crammed into these little gyms. I don't know, maybe put the student section on the other side so they're not right next to the support, the visiting team.
Yeah, the visiting team gets a section in these conference tournaments that they don't normally get. They shouldn't really be next to the student section, I agree with you. But let's move on here.
Let's
say one quick point about
go ahead, Dorman. Yep.
looking ahead for the Bryant Bulldogs in the tournament, you have to be able to score. They're going to be probably on that, what, 15, 16 line. You got to be 16. Able to score. 16. Thank you. Yeah. They got two scorers. Charles Pride and Peter Kiss can score the ball. Peter Kiss scores 24, 25 points a game. Pride's up there too, or at 18 or 19. These two can really score, really can light it up. If the one seed there is cold, this team can hang around.
Yeah, they also played. They also played Houston earlier in the season, and lost by 70 points. So let's not get too excited about it. But let me go on here. We do need to move on. We got a lot to get to. The Summit League Championship game, Dorman. This was an incredible game. This was finally the game we were looking forward to in the Summit League tournament. South Dakota State, North Dakota State went right down to the wire with the Jackrabbits winning it.
Right down to the wire. This was a game I was looking for. To see how South Dakota State would handle it. They haven't played a lot of games in conference here, in conferences here that have been even tight. A lot of them have been blowout after blowout. They handled the pressure well. They were calm. They took their time. Their offensive sets down the stretch were excellent. Their defense, they did have some few lapses. North Dakota State was punch for punch the whole way. The score of a 6-point difference is not indicative of how this game went. This game was right down to the last second.
It was. And Griggs, this South Dakota State team now heading into the tournament, a few numbers on them. They are the number one 3-point shooting team percentage wise in the nation. They're the number one field goal shooting percentage team in the nation. They're the number two points per game team in the entire nation. This is a team that scores a ton of points, is deadly, and in a single game setting, when you can hit the 3-pointer, this is a live team to pull upsets of the tournament.
Oh, it is a live wire team. I think they're heading for the 12 line. I would argue that they belong above that, but I think that's about where they're going to land. Had it not been for that loss to Idaho, I don't even think they would have needed to win the day, but they probably did need to win the day. And I know that we've got the NCAA tournament coming up, and that is like enough to be excited about. I think they return 4 starters next year. This is a program that's going through a bit of a golden age right now.
Yeah, this is a going. This is going, obviously the transfer portal. We never know with things like that.
But you're right.
Yeah, yeah. It really is. Stalica. West Coast Conference, it was the championship game. And every time the Zags looked like they were going to pull away, here came the Gales right back at them.
And we also saw, I think it was Chet Holmgren, the center for Gonzaga, gets in foul trouble, gets his 4th foul. It was similar in that sense to the San Francisco game. There, Gonzaga got careless, and the Dons actually whittled away at the deficit. Only this time, Gonzaga would end up scoring on 7 or 8 straight possessions and effectively shut the door on St. Mary's right here. This would allow Gonzaga to ultimately win the West Coast Conference crown again.
Yeah, at the end of the day, Gonzaga did have too much, just had too much. But both these teams are clearly in the field. And I think the Gales could be towing that 5 line. I don't know if they're going to get there. They're probably a 6, but I think they're towing that 5 line at least.
They looked – Gonzaga played really well today, and St. Mary's absorbed a lot of their punches. Another take on this is like, man, maybe these guys are a potential 5 seed.
I think the problem here for St. Mary's is you don't punish them for losing to Gonzaga.
No.
However, there are going to be other teams that are going to be getting wins of significance on championship week and are actually going to vault St. Mary's. Not so much that they fall down to the 7 line per se, but probably a solid 6, I think.
Dorman.
This is going to be a St. Mary's team no one wants to play. They work on offense. They are deliberate, and they are slow, and they get good looks at the basket, short mid-range jumpers. They have bigs in the paint. And on defense, they are in your face. Coach Randy Bennett works and teaches defense, and this team has really picked it up on defense this year. This is a St. Mary's team no one's going to be looking to play, especially on that second day of the weekend with only about 24 hours to prepare. St. Mary's is very dangerous, and I'd be looking for about 2 wins for St. Mary's with the right draw.
This could be a good sleeper Final Four team.
Yep.
If the bracket falls apart around them. But let's keep rolling along here. It was first round day in the ACC where we saw Boston College crush Pitt. We saw Clemson. It was not as close as that final score. They actually, it was close for about a half, and then they pulled away. But it really was more of a blowout than that. Louisville, I mean, Georgia Tech. Louisville was up huge. Georgia Tech tried to get back in the game late, but it was just a bad day today. Honestly,
great. Today showcased everything that's great about the ACC tournament. I mean, just this classic of it.
Now, the weird thing is Clemson actually came into the tournament on a 4-game winning streak, which is now going to be 5 games.
Five in a row,
Virginia
yes.
Tech better not be sleeping on the Tigers here, because if they lose this one, whatever consideration they had, poof, out the window.
Considering them.
their consideration really isn't there. They need to probably make a run to the finals to get any consideration. But yeah. Dorman, we've got tomorrow Florida State, Syracuse, Wake Forest, Boston College, Vatech, Clemson, Virginia, Louisville. Is the only thing we're looking at is to make sure that Wake Forest doesn't get upset?
That'll be one. But like Stalika just mentioned, Virginia and Virginia Tech nationally, people think they're still on this bubble. They need to win if those people think their hopes are still alive. But like Stalika said, a loss here and everything is done. They stick around and they get a Notre Dame and a North Carolina in the next round on Thursday. You might be able to put a few good wins together and get on the bubble. So, yes, there's a little more than just this Wake Forest can't lose game. Virginia Tech and Virginia have a lot going.
Florida State, Syracuse, I think it might be a good game, but it's pretty meaningless. It's only going to decide who Duke gets beat up on at the quarterfinals.
Yeah.
It was first round day. At the curtain, Griggs.
Oh,
Conference yeah. USA. Love and not only curtain. That, it was two pretty darn good games.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know what that means. You don't know what to do with that information other than they advanced to the semifinals. But Southern Miss getting just their 7th win of the year, I think. Just 10 wins away from winning it all.
Southern Miss broke a 14-game losing streak with this win today over UTSA. So congrats. Yeah, there we go.
Bam!
Go ahead.
Okay, whatever. anyway, tomorrow we're back at the curtain. Is UTEP a bit of a sleeper? Because I'm not saying they can win the whole thing. But if they win tomorrow, they might squeeze Middle Tennessee pretty hard.
UTEP, Old Dominion, Florida Atlantic, Southern Miss, Charlotte, Rice, Louisiana Tech, Marshall. I'm not on the UTEP bandwagon, Dorman. I think Louisiana Tech is the team that's more of a sleeper after tomorrow's games, are they not?
I was high on UTEP coming into the season. I'm jumped off the bandwagon. They've been absolutely brutal. But yeah, they could beat Old Dominion and give Middle Tennessee. I don't disagree with David there. But yes, La Tech came into the season with big high hopes. I think they should handle Marshall tomorrow with no problem, and then have a big game with Western Kentucky. That would be fun.
That's a great quarterfinals potentially. Like if the chalk holds.
It was first round day in the Metro Atlantic as well today. We saw Rider thump Manhattan and ruin that Iona Rider game. We saw Fairfield.
I'm not happy.
Thump Canisius, and we could even add in a final score here. Let's do this real quick. It was a 77-52 win by Quinnipiac over Marist.
Spoilers!
Does Marist get a participation trophy, or are we just going to say they didn't bother showing up so they don't get one? Wow.
Marist,
an unimpressive showing by the Red Foxes today.
kind of bad, because Marist was a team I liked early in the season. They really fell apart late.
If we were set up, it was like we could have had Manhattan, Iona, and Siena Marist. I mean, like it was there. We could have had a great quarterfinal.
Iona is thrilled.
Yeah,
we don't. We do have two games tomorrow. Only two. Only the Iona Rider and St. Peter's Fairfield game. Aslika, do you see an upset in either one of these?
Not tomorrow. You're going to have to wait till Thursday. And even then, I'm not sure I would call Niagara over Monmouth that much of an upset.
You're not riding the Quinnipiac bandwagon over Siena on Thursday night?
I am not, even though this is not in Albany.
So that was a day in the Metro Atlantic. Not much exciting at all here, quite honestly. It is first round day also in the WAC, where we saw nothing because we don't even have a final score there on the screen. Okay, we are missing both final scores.
Cal Baptist won.
Cal Baptist
advanced.
Cal Baptist did knock off UTRGV. We will try to find out that final score for you here in a second. But as we record this right now, Utah Valley up 6 on Chicago State. So starting with that, Griggs, how about Cal Baptist? Actually, their game against came right down to the wire. And UTRGV had been down most of the game. Cal Baptist had a chance. California Baptist, I'm sorry, had a chance at had a big lead. UTRGV came all the way back, had a shot at the buzzer that missed. They go on to play Sam Houston tomorrow night.
Yeah, Sam Houston, like, kind of a disappointing year for Sam Houston and Abilene Christian on the other side for that matter. But I think Sam Houston rolls tomorrow, and then we get Grand Canyon in what would be a great quarterfinal game.
Oh, there it is, 81-80. Okay, California Baptist won. We got to fix here.
I'm sorry, but this just seems like the bastard child of the Southland and the WAC right here. Wake me up on Thursday.
We got rid of this nasty giant bracket from the West Coast, and I've got to go through it all week on the WAC here. As we mentioned, we're recording this early. Utah Valley's up early in the game against Chicago State, but so the winner of this game will play Abilene Christian late tomorrow night. We can discuss that game tomorrow night. Yeah. Big West, are we missing a score here? No, we at least got the score here in this one. We saw in the first game, Cal State Bakersfield, Cal State Northridge. Silico is probably a little bit closer than that final score, but Bakersfield does get the win and advances to play Long Beach on Thursday. This conference is off tomorrow night.
I think Northridge got a little disoriented because they were probably half expecting Bakersfield to bring their blue floor with them from home. Alas, not much of an audience for this one right here either.
As we record this right now, we've got it's an early lead by UC Davis over Cal Poly. Again, we'll discuss that game tomorrow night. They'll be going up, the winner of that game will be going to play Cal State Fullerton. I know that I'm at least going to be staying up until about 2 o'clock in the morning just to make certain I get to see the end of this game. I don't know about you guys, but that was it for today's action. But we have a lot of action coming tomorrow, beginning with one more championship game. This will be the last championship game before Saturday. It is the Patriot League title game, Navy at Colgate.
Love this game.
Go ahead, Griggs. You want some thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, it's kind of the matchup we were hoping for when the tournament started, I think. I'm going to go with the midshipmen on the road. I think they can get it done. Wow, this one's going to be fun.
You agree, Dorman?
No, as much as I would like to see it, and I've picked about every underdog in every tournament, this one I'm going to go with the chalk here. I think Colgate just has too much firepower. They shoot the three beautifully at about a 40% clip, one of the top teams in the nation. I think coming down the stretch will be a little too much. If Navy is going to hang in and pull it off, they have to hit their free throws. They've struggled at the line this year.
Yeah. This setup, similar to the Northeast Conference, the Navy section will be crammed into probably right next to the Colgate student section.
Yeah. Navy fans, do not do that. That is the Navy. I don't expect they would. But Sleeka, it is semifinal day tomorrow night. In the America East, Binghamton is at Vermont and Hartford is at UMBC. So the two questions, number one, can Hartford pull the upset? And number two, how bad is Vermont going to crush Binghamton?
I actually think Hartford can pull the upset right here. UMBC, while they did end up winning, they weren't exactly invincible against a UMass Lowell right here. Vermont's probably going to be looking at about a 20 or 30 point game against the Bearcats.
Binghamton wins. Hartford wins. The championship game is coming to the neighborhood.
That would be amazing. It's Dorman. I don't think Binghamton has a shot in hell this game, though.
would the Hartford athletic director and staff be in attendance at the neighborhood if that were to be the situation?
From what I understand... Yeah, the issue isn't with them. It's with the president and the board, who probably would not be in attendance.
Okay. I think Vermont rolls. They can name the score. They've looked the other day. They just got up big like they have all year, and they rolled. They're not messing around. They know what's on the line. So I expect Binghamton to go down big. I'm with I'm with Stolica. Hartford's game in this is very live in this game tomorrow. I don't see a lot of talent differential between these two teams, Hartford and UMBC. So I'm with Stolica. Hartford can pull this off.
And remember, Hartford is the only American East team to beat Vermont this season. So they've done something no one else in this conference has been able to do. We've got a lot of conferences starting play tomorrow. We've got 11 of them, in fact. So let's run through them as quickly as we can here. It is first round day in the Atlantic 10. We've got first round games between LaSalle, St. Joe's, Rhode Island, Duquesne. Yes, it is a Big Five matchup. Other than being a Big Five matchup, Griggs, anything else to look forward to in these two games?
No. Okay, not good. Really. Advances to the quarterfinals when you're advancing.
The winner advances
to the opening round.
Yes, thank you. The round before the quarterfinals. Yeah. Let's go through here. Dorman, who do you think wins this event?
I like St. Louis. I know it's a little out there, but I think I like St. Louis. They've had a good, solid season. They've played a really rough schedule. They played some really good teams, Boise State, tough. They have the personnel to get it done. It's a rough road. St. Bonaventure, senior laden, seem to be, if they're ever going to make a run, Bonaventure, it's going to be now. But I'm going to pick an underdog. I'm going with St. Louis. I think the winner of that Bonnie St. Louis game is very dangerous against Davidson.
I actually like the Bonnies to win this. I think they beat Dayton in the championship game. Sleek, are you with me on the Bonnies? Are you with him on the St. Louis? Are you going somewhere else?
I don't think the Flyers are going to get past VCU a second time here, and I'll take the Rams to actually knock off Davidson in the title game here.
Now remember, VCU's got to get past Richmond in the quarterfinals, most likely, which is a city rivalry there. So it could be a fun one. Griggs,
who are you? I'm going with Dayton to win this.
Let's go to another conference that kicks off. Sleek Guy, got to start with you. It's your event. It is day one in the Big East. Xavier, an absolute must-win against Butler. We've also got St. John's DePaul and Seton Hall, Georgetown.
There is definitely going to be feeling of now or never against two coaches that are actually going to be on the hot seat right here. Xavier is going to have a little bit of momentum after the Georgetown game, albeit not very much. Butler probably can't get their season to end soon enough.
Georgetown, I expect them to get throttled by Seton Hall, even though they played well in their last couple of games. St. John's, this is technically, basically a home game for them, so they should be able to beat DePaul. But Griggs, who wins this event?
Villanova.
Villanova. Dorman?
Villanova. I love the senior guards, Ian Gillespie.
Stalika?
I know it's a lot to ask for UConn to stay out of foul trouble, but I think they're going to win it. They do call this thing a store south for a reason during this time of year.
I'm with you. I got UConn as my pick in this one also. All right. Let's go a little under the radar. Here it is, day one in the Big Sky Conference with an 11:30 a.m. Eastern. Yes, that is a 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time tip in Boise, as they're going to be playing a six-tuple header with the men followed by the women tomorrow. So very early tip.
We've got floor sweepers.
Sac State, Idaho, Portland State, Idaho State, Eastern Washington, Northern Arizona. For me personally, the only thing I'm looking forward to tomorrow is can Eastern Washington win and set up the big rivalry game in the quarterfinals, the Nokoe Woo Cup.
How about Idaho finishing ninth this year? A drastic improvement for them.
Let's go to the more serious question, though, of who's actually going to win the event. Dorman?
I'm going to go with Southern Utah U.
Ooh. Southern Utah. How about you, Stalika? Are you with him on Southern Utah?
I mean, if we're looking at the top seed right here, Montana, I hope they don't have a letdown after beating the Sacraho winner right here. I'm going to say Weber.
Todd, we're done. Show over, everybody. Log off. Griggs, take over. Tell me who's going to win this.
I like Dorman's Chris of Utah State or of Utah. I'm going with Montana State. Get the Sacramento winner.
I gotta say,
Didn't Weaver State make our under the radar top 10 list early in the season, actually?
They were up there for a little bit. And that's actually fascinating. Weaver State and Montana are the traditional powers in this conference. The fact that they mean the quarterfinals is actually, and one of them is going to get knocked out before then, is kind of interesting. But I'm going to go Montana State too. Why not? Let's go with the regular season champ of this one.
I'll go with Weaver State right here.
Okay. Let's jump back on the radar. It is day one in the Big Ten tournament, and those red-hot Nebraska Cornhuskers taking on Northwestern. Three straight road wins, including at Ohio State and at Wisconsin to end the season. Penn State and Minnesota in the other game. I don't know if there's anything any of us is looking forward to in these two games. If you do have a comment about them, feel free to make that. But I'm also going to ask each of you who your pick is to win the event. Sligal, I'll start with you on this time.
I'm going to say in a bit of a mild upset, Penn State's going to go ahead and make it to the quarterfinal round, but lose to the eventual champion Purdue Boilermakers right here.
We've seen that happen in this conference a few times. Somebody make it out of that first round game and win an extra game. Griggs, what do you think?
If this were an NCAA regional and Michigan State were a 7 seed, I think you'd be a fool not to take them just because that's what they do when they get seeded 7th. But it's the conference tournament, so I'm going to go with Wisconsin.
That's my pick too, is Wisconsin. How about unless Rutgers wins it, of course. Torben.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a little bit of a flyer. I think Michigan makes a run here to the finals. I see a Purdue Michigan finals, and I'm going to go out on a limb. I'll take Michigan over Purdue in the finals.
Wow. 4 games in 4 days. Not easy, but
nope. They've done it before.
I think Michigan's biggest problem is Juwan Howard's going to be back on the bench now.
Great point.
He is back. We can talk a little bit more about that game tomorrow night when we preview the
Was he at the Northeast Conference game tonight?
Oh, jeez. Let's see.
He started it.
Yeah.
What happened? Big 12. K-State, West Virginia, two teams that are going absolutely nowhere other than a loss to Kansas on Thursday, but the game is 7 o'clock p.m. ESPNU tomorrow night. Is anybody going to bother watching this one?
Sure, why not?
No. In all seriousness, though, I think I kind of like K-State in this game. Although West Virginia came up with a big win at the end of the regular season, so maybe they've got a little bit going for them. Anyways, though, Dorman, let me start with you. Who wins the Big 12 tournament?
I'm going with the Longhorns.
Ooh, whoa.
Going with Texas, huh? They got TCU, then Kansas, then Baylor. It's not an easy road.
They'll get revenge from last weekend. Yep. No, exactly. This conference is loaded with great teams. But, yes, Texas gets revenge over Kansas in the semis.
I'm going to go Texas Tech. I think that this is a very, very live Texas Tech team. I think they probably have – the easiest first round matchup with Iowa State, which is an NCAA tournament team. But I think that may help them going forward. Grace, what do you think?
I like Texas Tech a lot on their court. I don't like them quite as much away from home, although they have some massive wins away from home. I kind of like Baylor.
Baylor. All right. Sleeka?
I think it's a big ask for Texas Tech to beat Baylor a third time right here. That said, I think it's going to be Kansas over Baylor in the title game here in a de facto home in Kansas City.
Going Rock Chalk. All right. It is quarterfinal. Now let's get to a real conference here, the MEAC. It is the first two quarterfinals. We've got the 1-8 game between Norfolk State and Delaware State, the 2-7 game between Howard and Coppin State tomorrow. Huge implications with this Norfolk State-Delaware State game. If Delaware State loses this, they are going to be the favorite for our Centenary Award for the worst team in D1. Now, Lamar did go winless against D1 opponents also. They're done. This could be a game. This could be an award clincher with an asterisk. I may get to it at the end of the show tonight. But Delaware State, big game for them, Griggs.
Yeah, this conference has a history. it's corrected itself in recent years of having its first place team do awful in the tournament and even losing in the quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. If that happens tomorrow, I will be convinced that there is some sort of jinx over the MEAC tournament. But I like Norfolk State. I've liked them all year long. I see no reason to change now.
Yeah, I'm going to go with them to win this also. Dorman?
I'm with Griggs. The only team I could even see coming close to him is Howard, but at PSA, I'm with you guys in Norfolk State.
I do think Morgan State could give him a battle in the semifinal. That's a team that was supposed to be good heading into the season. They disappointed a little bit. Sleeka, who are you going with in the MEAC?
I say NC Central is going to be kind of a tough out. They'll get to the title game, but Norfolk State, they're very good at the beginning of the year, probably going to be very good at the end of the year, but probably end up losing their opener in the NCAA tournament.
Keep going here. Mountain West first round day, Nevada, New Mexico, Utah State Air Force, Fresno State versus the University of Tim Miles. Do you see an upset here, Dorman, first of all, in tomorrow's games?
Nevada's actually playing better ball, so no, I don't. I see Nevada, Utah State, and Fresno State all moving on, and those three teams actually aren't that bad.
Yeah, and that's what I want to get to here. I think we have a handful of potential bid stealers in this conference. UNLV, yeah. Utah State, and Fresno State. I don't know about Nevada as much, but I think all three of those teams could be cutting down the nets, and in fact, I'm picking Utah State to win this event.
Wow, I think that's a crazy – you can't go with a bid stealer because I'm going with one and I'm going with a different one. I'm going with UNLV.
Okay. Sleeka, do you want to go with a bid stealer?
I think UNLV will steal Wyoming's bid, but they'll just offer it to some completely random team. I don't think the Rebels are going to have enough to win the whole thing. I'll actually go with a team that's been kind of tried and true in recent years and go with San Diego State.
That's a good pick, actually. Yes. Dorman, what do you think?
We do have on Thursday the championship game of the Front Range Conference. If Colorado State can win that, they win the auto bid.
If they can play UNL, if they play Air Force, well, but they may have to play Wyoming also in the championship game. Or what if Air Force plays Wyoming in the championship game? Who knows? Dorman, who wins this conference tournament?
I'm going with David Roddy and the Colorado State Rams.
There you go. Another good pick. None of us went Boise. Interesting. It is first round day in the Pac-12. Let's keep things going here. We got Arizona State, Samford, Oregon State, Washington State, Cal, Washington, Utah. To the extent Oregon is still in the bubble, and I think they are, absolute must win against a team that is our current favorite for our Stallings Award for the worst power conference team in Oregon State. Sleeka, do you see any seeding upsets tomorrow?
I don't even care about seeding upsets tomorrow. All I want is a split screen of the game and Bill Walton tomorrow. That's all I'm going to ask.
Oh, geez. Okay, how about who wins?
He will be on. Sleeka, for your info, he will be on the night games on the Pac-12 network.
Awesome. Circle those night games. We'll be actually recording our show probably during that 11:30 game. Yeah. But Sleeka, who wins this event?
I'm going to go with Arizona right here. Granted, it's Colorado could be a little bit of a tough out. Arizona State could really be a tough out because you never know which Sun Devil team shows up of late.
If they play Arizona State, I don't know that Stanford doesn't beat Arizona State. Griggs, who do you go with?
If Arizona isn't brain dead or unmotivated, I'm going to go with them. We've seen it happen before. I wouldn't be shocked if Oregon won this either.
I'm going UCLA. Dorman?
I'm going to take my guys, Arizona. But Stalika bigs up a great point. Arizona should be fully focused against Colorado, having Arizona go there about 12 days ago and absolutely got rolled out of the building. Colorado was all over him in the second half. So Arizona's attention will be high on that Colorado game. So I think Arizona's focus should be good. Arizona, UCLA in the finals.
And I think it's also worth noting, if you were looking for Oregon to pull an upset, their top scorer is going to be out for the tournament now because of illness.
Ooh, really?
Yep. SEC first round day, Missouri versus Ole Miss, Vanderbilt versus Georgia. The big question here, Griggs, is this going to be Tom Crean's last game coaching the Georgia Bulldogs?
Most likely.
Will he even make it to the team bus?
He might be fired at halftime.
The other question, as we look ahead to this very good SEC tournament, is who is going to win this? And I think this is a real tough tournament to pick a winner on, actually. But Griggs, let me stick with you. Who's going to win it?
I'm going with Kentucky because out of all the teams in this, I think they're the best away from home. And, okay.
Dorman.
I know everyone's looking at those top four seeds that get a bye to Friday, and I like all of them too. Watch out for LSU in that five slot. They're going to get revenge if they can win on Thursday. They're going to get revenge for that Arkansas game last weekend. They'll be ready for that one. I'm going to take a long shot. LSU.
LSU. Stalika.
I think Saturday is going to be very fascinating with a sea of orange and an even bigger sea of blue in the second semifinal. Whoever wins this is ultimately going to be the champion, I feel, and I'll take Kentucky over Arkansas in the final.
I'm going with the Vols. I'm taking Tennessee to win this.
Wow, that's an interesting pick.
I think this is where they kind of, you know, really prove that they are going to be a dangerous team in the NCAA tournament also. I mean, they're going to be a protected seed, but yeah. I just think it's a team that not many people are talking up as much as they deserve this season. A couple more conferences left. It is going to be first round day in the not quite as long of a ladder format because there's only eight teams left in the Southland tournament. Unfortunately, we do not have the Houston Baptist McNeese State rematch of the quadrupler that ended the regular season. They're on opposite sides of the bracket. We do have Houston Baptist, Incarnate Word, Northwestern State, McNeese State. Dorman, do you care who wins these games?
No, I like Nichols. I like Nichols State in this tournament. I've been on them all year, and I'm rolling with them.
Yeah, New Orleans lost to Nichols State in the regular season finale, which determined not only the regular season champion, but dropped New Orleans all the way down to the three seed, making them have to play an extra game. I agree with you, Nichols, to win this. Griggs?
I'm going to go with the team that was hot early, thinking that they may find their way again. And there's so much parity in this conference that it wouldn't surprise me if Corpus Christi won it.
Okay, not a bad pick. Salika.
It's a shame we only have, three Texas teams and five Louisiana teams this year. That said, I would look for an all-Louisiana final with Nichols probably taking out New Orleans in the title game.
I'd forgotten that all about – that was another brilliant – was it last year where the bracket just happened to be half Texas on the top and Louisiana on the bottom?
Yeah, we actually named them, I think, the Texas brilliant. Louisiana bracket. Just by coincidence, did not quite work out that way this year. Close, but not quite. I guess we have a balance of we have more New Orleans teams, New Louisiana teams, and New Orleans teams than Texas teams now, so it's not possible.
Yeah.
One last conference. It is the first two quarterfinals in the SWAC tomorrow. We've got Alcorn State against Prairie View, and we've got Southern against Jackson State. The only two SWAC games tomorrow. The other two quarterfinals coming up on Thursday. Jackson State might give Southern a battle, in my opinion. Actually, Prairie View has been a power in this conference for last few years. They might even give Alcorn State a battle. I think this is a wide open conference tournament, honestly. I think it really is. I think any of these eight teams might be able to win it. Which is why I'm going with Texas Southern, because they always find a way.
That's who I was going with, too.
Dorman, what about you?
I'm going with the Jaguars of Southern U.
Southern U. Okay, Salika.
As much as I would like to take a first-timer like Grambling or even Florida A&M, very hard to pass on Texas Southern in an event like this.
Texas Southern seems to be the favorite pick here, at least among us. But let's go over here to our survival board now. That was it for the previews for tomorrow. This is our NCAA tournament survival board. This is a tool we do. Greg, can you explain why we do this survival board?
We do this for the selection committee. We do this so... because we want to make sure the selection committee is doing the right thing and picking the right teams. So we tell them who to pick. This is a great resource. They come to this board. They have the internet in the room, so they can log on and come to this board, and they can see who is an automatic bid. As you see Longwood there in all caps, who's a lock even if they don't win the conference tournament. Those are the teams in blue. Who's under consideration and who they shouldn't take at all. So when it's like, well, should we select Illinois? They would come to this board and they would see Illinois on the big board in blue. And they would be like, oh, okay, yeah, we have to take them.
Well, what if they came to this board and said, well, should we select Drexel?
They would come. Not a bad question. Should we select Drexel? I mean, it's on people's minds. You don't know whether you should or shouldn't. And you come to this board and you're like, oh, no, we should.
Yeah, the fact they're crossed off. Now, if you were going for now, this was as of yet, as of going into the day today. So you see that Delaware was not quite locked in. They will be locked in when we do the update. But let's see where we were heading into the day today. We were at 200. we've been hacked again.
Do you think it was a bad idea to have Carver Bible College run this board for us?
I don't know what's going on, but apparently heading into the day today, there were 227 Carver Bibles remaining eligible for the NCAA to win all. Okay. As a result of today's action, let's see how many Carver Bibles we're down to. Two 112 teams remain eligible to make the field, win the NCAA tournament. That will actually drop to 210 by the end of the night when these last two games of the Big West, the WAC, go final. So tomorrow morning we'll be at 210 teams remaining. We'll see where we should be dropping. We will be dropping under 200 definitely tomorrow sometime.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
So is this what the puppet does when he's on the road at all the hotels, swapping all the Gideon Bibles with Carver Bibles? Carver Bibles.
Oh, geez. Let's go to our rivalry creator. Although Sleek has already created a few for us, so we may be past this already for the night, but should we go with a few more? This is a – Briggs, explain to people what this is here again.
Well, it creates trophy games. It's like it tells you if two teams that don't usually play were to start to play on a regular basis and form a rivalry, what the name of the rivalry would be. And what the name of the trophy would be. That's what we got going on here. So, you know, Northern Colorado, Eastern Washington, that is a conference game they regularly play. And, of course, it's known all over the world as the Nokoe Woo Cup. And
little known fact about them, 8 miles apart, never been in the NCAA tournament.
Right, yes. Wow. Yeah, like, it seems like a lot of the rivalries we've created had that stat, Chad.
The computer doesn't lie, absolutely doesn't lie. But let's go ahead here, and we had a couple requests here. Little Rock just finished up their final season in the Sun Belt. Arkansas Little Rock, they're moving over to the Ohio Valley, but the Ohio Valley is a little bit closer to the Mid-American Conference, and the question was, what would happen if Little Rock played Ball State?
Yeah. Oh my God!
Oh no!
I didn't write this. I don't even know what the computer's gonna do. The computer's gonna figure this out for us.
So
Little Rock versus Ball State. I mean, what could go wrong here? No!
Reveal your sources.
Yeah. I don't even want to go with the other one that was requested. Maybe we should just nix it. So somebody asked me what would happen if Dartmouth played Ball State.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we'll put it in there. The Dartmouth Big Green going up. Oh, no. I'm not reading it. I'm not reading it. If you're listening, just don't link. You just have to watch the poll. You guys have to watch if you want to find out what that was. Yeah. That was bad. Let's go to final thoughts. I'm sorry, Dartmouth and Ball State should not be playing each other ever. Stalika, final thoughts.
Well, as of the time we're recording, it's going to be 212 teams. By the time this thing's published later on, it'll be down to 210. But once we get through Wednesday night and Thursday night, we're going to be pretty close to 100 on the survival board here. So just like that, we'll be going from over half the teams in Division One to just about a third of them.
Yeah, we are going to get there. They're going to start flying off the board these next few days. Dorman.
Jumping on Stalika's point, that means there's tons and tons of games. The next 4 days, Wednesday through Saturday, are my favorite 4 days of the year. There's just action all day long. There's so much on the line. We have the mid-major conferences are still going, a lot of semis and championships. The big power boys are starting, and early on they got bubblers left and right. The next 4 days is just going to be fantastic. Enjoy, everybody.
Absolutely agree completely. Griggs, you want to finish off the show?
The transitional period, getting back to Bellarmine, I've never been a fan of it being 4 years. 2 years, I guess, I could kind of see. But why should it be any time at all? And, you know, if Bellarmine should be playing in the NCAA tournament, they should be. I just don't understand why we need this rule.
I agree. 4 years is ridiculously long. If the rule was there to protect teams as they move up or the like, I don't get it anymore. I think it applied way back when you had a couple teams failing, but they actually changed the rules. They made it harder. They made greater financial commitments necessary. Yeah. They made conference commitment necessary to move up. So why do we have to keep waiting? Why do we still have to do this antiquated 1980s 4-year wait period?
Yeah. And I think the only reason it's really there is to try and keep teams out of D1. They don't want it growing. They don't want it to suddenly be at 400 or 500. And I can kind of understand that. But the idea that like Bellarmine is not assimilated is ridiculous. They just won a conference tournament. They've been very successful. They should play in the NCAA tournament.
I agree completely. On that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of David Dorman, David Griggs, and John Stalica, I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another video notebook. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow's Wednesday. Yep, we'll be back with another video notebook tomorrow night. We'll be able to start updating you on our mock committee come Thursday night. That's a couple nights from now. But on that note, have a great evening or a great day, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.